Welcome back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. Josh Brown here, and as a franchise lawyer, I get to spend my days helping people with their franchise legal needs. But on this show, I get to talk with people in and around the franchise world and learn from their perspective and their experiences, and also share some of my own. Enjoy! Brian, how you doing today, buddy?
Good, Josh. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I'm thrilled. I've got Brian Beers on, who is an entrepreneur, an investor, a podcast host, and a father. And so we're going to kind of talk about all that stuff. But you got kind of a really cool story from the franchise perspective, because you are an owner of a group called Prenlin Automotive Group that I believe, and you'll have to fill in the details here, Brian, but I believe you guys have grown from 6 to 33 locations over a period of time, which is some good growth that a lot of folks would be interested in. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So my brother and I, as of today, we have 33 locations in Midas, which is auto repair between kind of the Philadelphia and Northern New Jersey markets. And it's a good sized business. You know, we'll do, you know, hopefully $50 million in revenue here in 2024. We did about 42 last year, and 200 employees. You know, my family has been in that business since 1976. My dad started it with one location with my granddad. Him and my uncle grew it from, you know, one location to six, did that for 30 years. That was their job. You know, I went to college, graduated in 2010, was looking, you know, trying to decide, hey, what am I going to do at the time, you know, after the recession. You know, they were ready to retire, get out. They weren't making any money, and just, you know, they were ready to do something else. And so I joined the business and, you know, breathed a whole bunch of new life into it. And then, grew the sales, started growing the money. And then I didn't own anything, right? I was just an employee in my you know, dad's business. And so then eventually,
you're like, come on, show me some love here. Show me some love.
And at the end of the day, like in franchise, like a single store or so many stores can only produce so much cash, right? And how you make money.
You're preaching to the choir there, by the way, Brian. Right. I tell people at this point, I've been a franchise lawyer for 18 years. There are very few systems where you can go in and own one or even two and be make a happy lot ultimately. Yeah.
So right. I recognize that, hey, the only way that like my everybody can make the money they want to make is we need a bunch more locations, right? And that's the beauty of franchise, right? If you can figure out how to do it, like it's scalable. We should be able to do it. And so 2016, my brother and I, you know, because he had joined now, put some money together, went and got a bank loan, bought two existing locations in the Philly market. You know, we ran it all as one company, but, you know, we had different, you know, equity splits as part of the planning. And then, we just rolled the money. Those two locations, you know, that were hit, you know, me and his, like, took the money we made on those and bought another one in 17, another one in 18, another two in 19. 2021 comes around. We do a big deal, buy out seven locations, owner finance deal in New Jersey that kind of got our foot into a new market. And then from there, it snowballed. We bought out a bunch more in New Jersey. We bought out another one in another market north of Philly, bought out our parents. And so that, you know, that single $130,000 that we put in for this loan has snowballed now into, you know, this you know, pretty significant size business along the way. And that's what I love about
franchising. Did you do all second gen locations, all second generation?
We had two new, we had one we opened from scratch. We had another one that was a Pep Boys that dropped a lease that we, you know, we flipped the banners and, but you know, a legacy brand, there's a lot of legacy owners, you know, guys that want to get out, just like my dad, who retired of it and just like ready to retire, and their kids didn't want anything to do with the business. And so,
and you said it's Midas, right?
Yeah.
Midas.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a known name, been around a long time.
So anyway, that has like, and along the way, you know, we've had some other franchises we tried and like, we're terrible and didn't work out. And so then we started to realize like, what are the things that we're good at? Right. And sometimes you think, you know, you have success and then you think like everything you touch turns to gold. And then you quickly realize that's not the case. And, you know, you got to find the thing that fits like your skills, your goals, makes sense where you live, all that stuff.
So what fit you with Midas that did not fit you guys with the other ones?
Let me talk about the next. So since then, we just bought out the territory rights for a painting franchise called That One Painter, which is like the fastest growing painting franchise in the country. We bought out 13 territories, which is like all of Philadelphia up to Scranton, PA. So why that basically? And then in what I fail in these other ones, I think is a good, kind of a good way to view it. You know, I think we were very good in these like mass market, highly fragmented, businesses. You know, automotive is like that, right? There's a million shops. Midas only has like 2% or something of it. It's single digits, even though it's like one of the most recognizable names, right? It's because there's so much work out there. Painting's the same thing. The biggest painting company in the world or in the US is a franchise competitor who has 4% of the market. Like these industries are so big. And they're B2C. So that means we do mass marketing. We do, you know, direct mail, digital, like leads flow. You know, we have a conversion process to convert the leads. They're sales driven. They're in the trades. Some of these other businesses I got into were B2B. And like B2B is a completely different, right? These are going to be relationship-based businesses where like someone, usually owner in these models, is the guy going out on the streets, building the relationships. And you don't do mass marketing. You don't do any of that, right? It's all like grassroots stuff. And like, that's not me, right? I'm the guy in my office. I'm like, I can put the people to place. I can spend the money on marketing. You know, we can fine tune the systems, but I struggled in that. You know, like I was hiring these sales guys and we just couldn't generate enough sales. And then the models, like they were not good, like unit economics models. Let's just put it that way in terms of how much could we sell it for versus what it costs us to make. Like you would need massive volume in these other concepts, to make any money.
And so how'd you end up getting out of them?
Not good. I mean, the one was not good. The one was franchise. It was a 15 or 20 year agreement. We were 3 years into it and just like bleeding money. And the franchisor, you know, was threatening liquidated damages and all this stuff if we closed it. And so I sold it to a neighboring franchisee for $1 to get out of the contract.
Wow. Yeah.
With that had $150,000 worth of inventory in it. It was an auto parts business. And then the other one was a mobile truck washing business where you got like contracts with like to clean tractor trailers and garbage trucks and stuff. That one I ended up, the franchisor had realized that they really needed owner operators, and people like me who tried to do it through management just really struggled. And so the franchisor bought it back from me at like asset value. So I don't.
Well, I mean, you're hitting on something that's really important, I think, for a lot of people who listen or who look at franchises. I mean, you've been doing this a while now. You're experienced in it. But I think one thing that people don't ever really stop to think about before they get into franchises, they focus so much on the franchisor and which is warranted, but they don't focus on what their relationship to that business is going to be. And as you just said, like you realized at a certain point that you needed that management model, right? Where you're not going to be in there every day. You're not at your locations every day, but you've got a good management team in place. You've got good processes. You're working well with the franchisor. I think that's really important to think about before anybody buys a franchise.
Yep. And so, since then I have a pretty good online, you know, kind of audience, primarily through Twitter. I'm working on LinkedIn and YouTube and all this other stuff. And, you know, a lot of stuff I talk about is this, right? Which is how do we, you know, I believe franchising is one of the best vehicles out there to build wealth. However, not all franchises are equal. I mean, you probably have all would know that like there's a percentage that are really good, right? That have really strong systems. There's a percentage that are really, really bad, right? That like should never have, you know, be a franchise. And then you have a whole bunch of mediocre stuff in the middle. And so, but even the mediocre systems, people can do well in it if it's a good fit for that person, right? And so what I like talk to people about and I've experienced is like, how do you identify like what are the things that you're good at and what are your goals, and like, and then trying to find a franchise that matches you and your personality and like the type of business you want to run. And just because it makes sense for me, like this painting business or whatever, like should have no influence if it makes sense for you.
How do you and your brother, so what are your brother's skill sets? Like what do you bring to the table versus what is he? How are you?
Yeah, we're like yin yang. I mean, he's, you know, I'm the guy on the podcast. I've got the social media presence. He's kind of like behind the scenes. He really runs kind of our back office technology. You know, he's kind of more like the integrator, like all the details and the numbers and the, you know, he's got infinite patience, while I have very little. So, you know, I'll come up with the vision, right? Of like, hey, this is what I think we can do. And then, you know, he'll help put those things into place to make it happen.
So, Brian, how do you guys go about when you're assessing, like you said, you just bought into this painting concept. And when you're looking at that, I mean, obviously you're looking for you're looking for certain metrics. What are you guys looking at this point? Because I think it's instructive for people who are out there who've never done this before. I mean, what are some of the things you're looking at in these models?
The metrics or just like, how do I, like my checklist? So I think it's good to have a checklist of like, what are the qualities that you are looking for in a business? And everybody's different. This is my checklist. Like we wanted something that was asset light, in part because Midas is very asset heavy. You know, we have big leases. It's all triple net. You have roofs and equipment. And like we spend millions of dollars on fixed assets and expenses. And, you know, we kind of like the idea of, all right, what if we had something that had very minimal real estate, like a warehouse maybe, but like very little. We wanted something that was sales driven. Like at the end of the day, like a lot of the stuff we talk about with the auto guys is sales, right? Which is what the customer come in for, you know, what's urgent that needs fixing, right? They don't know something's broken. Like we need to tell them about things that, you know, your tires are getting worn down. You don't need them today, but like you can need them in the future. And here are factory scheduled maintenance, right? So we have a sales process. We're very good at training that and following that. So we wanted something that could take our like culture of, you know, sales and apply it to another business. Versus, you know, there's other franchises out there. I don't know, we get into senior care. Like I'm a partner in a senior care franchise. I'm a minority partner. And in that business, that has like no sales, right? That business is you build referral relationships with people and you recruit and you try to your best to retain caregivers.
No, that business is caregivers because the caregivers drive everything.
Yep. My skill set, like that is not a sales driven business. That's a relationship with the caregiver business, right? So like part of it is like we were trying to say like, what is something that we are already doing and wouldn't feel very heavy in comparison to the current business that we have? Now, if someone's brand new, you know, it would just be them figuring out like, do I want this type of model? So for me, sales driven, asset light, you know, I'm a go big or go home type of guy. Like I wanted something I could own almost all of Philly. So there's other brands I love, just, you know, Philly sold out and like I wanted to own it all. And so that, you know, that for me, that was a consideration. I wanted something that was, had a brand that I felt that was like modern and like on the cutting edge of what's new. And, you know, we're seeing that a lot these days where these guys have in-house call centers. They've got really good digital marketing. They've got, you know, they're constantly updating the tech stack and like ways to make it easier for the customer to interact, ways to make it easier for us to kind of like manage the business and dashboards and all those things. And so I wanted a brand that I felt like, you know, had that component. And other people don't, right? Those are going to be the emerging brands. Those are going to be the new guys who are trying to disrupt the space, right? But for me, my personality, what I'm looking for, that's what I like. Some people want like the tried and true brand that's been around forever, and they're doing it the same way for 15 years, and you know they're just going to keep doing it that way. And like that's not me though. So anyway, those were kind of the big things that I was looking for, and how, you know, kind of my process to look through it.
So what's your day like? I mean, you know, you've got all these businesses you're running. You're obviously doing a lot of the social media, which I want to dive a little bit more into that, because I think that's one of those elements on the digital marketing side that's so important to all these businesses. And yet there's so many different ways that people are doing it or trying to do it. So I want to dive into that here in a second. But what's your day like? I mean, you know, what's your day like being sort of in that management type role, but overseeing all these different franchise systems?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously it's evolved over the years from when I was a store manager to a district manager to the COO to, you know, my seat today. So like, you know, most of the days I'm here in my office. You know, I've got, you know, we've built the Midas business. I do not have much involvement in the day to day in that business anymore. Like I've replaced myself at every level. That is my goal. My goal is always to replace myself. And so, you know, I hired a COO who was a former military special operations, 20 years in the army. You know, I was his first job out of retirement from the military. And so, these guys are rock stars. Like there's these couple foundations, they help place these guys. Some people would view it as a risk, like, hey, this guy has no business experience. He has no customer service experience. He has no like auto experience, but he had core values that I know that we could not be taught, and that driven highly account, very, very accountable. Like, you won't find a more accountable level of person, right? And they do whatever it takes, and they can adapt to situations. So I hired him. He as a COO, within 3 months, he took over my job. I am almost completely out of the business from a daily operations standpoint. So, you know, we'll meet once a week to kind of go over where we're at, what's going well, you know, what's not going well. You know, I still provide coaching and direction, and, you know, making sure that like the big rocks start to get moved and we see progress on those things. The painting business, same thing. I took one of my guys who was out of Midas. He's running that thing. He's, you know, also former military. He's hiring the sales guys. He's in the field every single day. You know, since that's still new, I'm pretty involved. I'll hop on, you know, daily huddle calls and just, you know, work on culture. I've got a pretty big team on my social media side too. So I've got 4 or 5 people that work for me there, currently all in the Philippines, who help with, you know, content ideas, all the video, all the automated postings, somebody who helps manage email. And so, like, you know, I've invested time and money into try to build systems that, you know, can duplicate my efforts. And I'm,
well, when you're looking at, I mean, you talked about the social media and the digital, and it's so, it's just never ends, right? It always keeps yep. going, and it's always right in the moment. So obviously you've got people, like you said, you've got a staff, you've got folks out of the Philippines doing that. And so it's probably round the clock. What are you finding? And it may differ in these different businesses, but obviously they are, you know, B2C, like you said. Are you finding one platform that you prefer over the other, or are you thinking it's a strategy of being on all the platforms?
So I don't do any marketing for the operating companies through social media. You know, my main, so I've got, you know, I've got my other business, which is like the online business, which is franchise education. So like, I've got some courses, you know, we help people buy franchises. We just launched an exclusive community for high performing franchisees. You know, all this idea of like, hey, I want to help the franchise community, guys just like me, and helping them find
franchisee focused, right?
It's 100% franchisee focused. No franchisors, no vendors. Like, this is only to help people. Most of them quit their jobs and go all in a business and try to build an 8-figure, you know, business out of this thing
and invest their life savings.
And yeah, life savings time. And take on debt, and like, and I know, like, I'm personally guaranteed on, you know, 50 franchise agreements right now. Like, we've been there, done that. Like, it's all my friends, right? So we know what it takes. But given all that, I still believe it is the best path to build wealth for the right people, right? Who fit the system, who follow the process, who do whatever it takes, who don't want the easy road. So I believe that social media is how I grow that business, right? It's how I, you know, I can impact the world through, you know, primarily Twitter, like I said, LinkedIn, podcast, YouTube, the different platforms. But I've had a lot of success on Twitter.
So on Twitter. Yeah. That's funny. Everybody's just,
I don't know where you found me, but Twitter's like where I've got 20,000 followers, 21,000. And that's, you know, my goal is to grow that to 100. So.
Nice. Yeah. No, I mean, I was on the franchise side, with your brands, I'm sure as part of the relationship with the franchisor, you know, they have marketing requirements and suggestions.
I don't even want to do the marketing. Like, I want them to do the marketing, right? I want the leads to come in, and then our guys can close them. Like, that is my goal in both.
But it's
the brands
so local now too, right? It's so local. Like, it's on the digital side of things.
Yep.
Everything is local, mm-hmm. local. So you have to constantly be out there. And I know just from talking with different folks on this podcast and just in general throughout the industry that it's ever changing. So I was just curious kind of how you've seen not only the change, but if your strategy, you know, with your team, both on your own personal stuff, on the franchise coaching and everything, but even with the franchise brands, you know, how often is that kind of evolving? I mean, I'm seeing, it's hard to stick with the strategy, and then all of a sudden things change, algorithms change, all that kinds of, there's a lot of fluidity.
That's why you need a team, you need people on it, and you need to, like, you know, and I'm just starting to do this now, but like tracking like the different metrics and like what's working and, hey, this thing worked and why'd that work? And like, you know, is it the hook? Is it this? Is it that? Even Twitter changed their algorithms 6 months ago, and like everything that worked before like stopped working. And so you know, you kind of like, you know, you follow the guys who like dig into the algorithms and try to like tell you like, this is what you got to do now. And, but it's like a business, right? It's not like, it's a game that you have to follow and like understand and adapt to if it's important to you.
I see that guitar behind you. Are you a guitar player?
I used to be really good in high school. It's what I thought I wanted to do. Then I thought I wanted to get in the music side, the business side of music. Cause I realized musicians like don't make any money, but the publishers can make some money, right? Who own the rights. And so I don't know. Then I went to college. I got into other stuff. But, I play occasionally. I'm not nearly as good as I used to be.
I didn't know if you wanted to grab it and play us a tune, you know, yeah, as we finish off here. This is part of why I loved, we were talking, I've been doing the podcast for over 10 years, but I recently started doing more of the video podcast here. Because you know, you get a sense for, person you're talking with a little bit better. Well, tell me this, Brian, as we kind of finish up here. I mean, obviously, we'll put in the show notes where you can be found, but for those that don't read those, you can go to brianbeers.com. You can his podcast, Business with Beers, great podcast, and YouTube channel at Brian Beers, and then as well on LinkedIn. But tell us, Brian, I mean, you've got a lot of experience. You're in the game, which is really cool. You're not just talking about it. You're actually doing it.
Yep.
You've got enough of a window now looking backwards. I've got, this is a two-part question. Number one, looking back, knowing what you know now, what's one or two things you would have done a little bit differently that now having hindsight, you know better for? And then number two, you know, where are you aiming to be here in the next, you know, year or so with all the different things you're doing?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, the hindsight was that one, this like auto parts business I got into was, you know, reflecting on like the business model itself, let alone like my, you know, didn't match me or whatever, like was not good. You know what I mean? It was like, it became one of these things where you had low cost of goods, you had delivery drivers, you had inventory, so cash inventory, and super high fixed expenses. So you need to do massive volume to make any money. And I guess I thought, like, whatever, I can do
so
that,
due diligence, right? Maybe. Do you think if you did more due diligence?
But it was kind of like really understanding the break even, the like, what do we got to do break even here? And what do we got to do to like make this thing worth it? And I think, you know, versus like now I look at, you know, cause I look at all these brands, that there's all these brands that like the break even points are like way lower because the cost of goods are very low and like the labor's lower and they don't have this big overhead and they don't tie up cash and inventory and just like, they have much stronger from like a unit economics, like break even point. There's other issues with that, but like just purely from a financial, like, model, like, is this, especially as like a side business or a first time business, something that like is pretty easy to not lose money, right? Like versus one that has like, you got to climb this massive hill just to break even. I think like that was my biggest blind side on that, was that like, I don't know. I would now go for anything that's a, you know, lower ticket, but higher margin versus something that's a low margin, but a very high ticket or tons of volume that you have to do. Because you just need tons of activity to get that. So anyway, that was like kind of my, like, I don't know. I reading back, like, man, that was a terrible like model. Like, why did I, how did I convince myself that like I would do good for that?
But you learn from it and then you move forward.
Yeah. And yeah. I learned what not to do. It was a big lesson on that. And then what do I think would be a year from now? You know, I think I can impact tens of thousands of people to go out and to use franchising as a path to, you know, create cash flow, to have more freedom, and to build wealth. And that's what it's done for me and tons of my friends. And so my goal is to demystify a lot of the stuff that I think people believe about franchising. They believe either it is you buy yourself a job and it's a chuck in a truck, or they believe it's totally unattainable, you know, NFL franchises, McDonald's, Planet Fitness, these really big, expensive things. And there's this entire world that exists where ordinary people like me, like, I don't have an MBA, like, I'm not that special, like, but you can build these really good businesses if you're willing to do the work and find a brand that makes sense. And so, you know, I hope to be the number one voice in kind of franchising and not only that, but just like small business and helping people achieve their dreams. So, where that shows up.
That sounds good. Well, we'll check back in with you, you know, yeah, along I'll get the way. There. And
I think I'm the number two voice now, so I just got one more guy to beat, but now I'm just.
Well, let's, well, I, you know, if you want to learn more, talk to Brian, hit him up on Twitter at Brian Beers, or any of those other locations we mentioned that will also be in the show notes, like I said. But thanks, Brian, for coming along and sharing this. It's always good to talk to people who are in there doing it. And I love that you're giving back as well, and also really trying to help out a lot of these, you know, franchisees, because as you and I both know, and I've said this for going back 18 years, I said at the end of the day in franchising, most of the time the people who end up really getting screwed are the franchisees. And so we need more people out there helping them to make smart investments, and not, yeah, I used to joke, not just make an investment. You know, I'd say to somebody, why are you going to buy this, you know, sub shop? Well, I really like the sandwiches. I go, well, that's great, but that's really not a great reason to buy it. So anyways, thanks for spending some time with us. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you'd like to get a hold of me or learn more about our franchise services, please go to IndyFranchiseLaw.com. That's I-N-D-Y FranchiseLaw.com. Also, please know that the conversations and information shared on this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice. Until next time, happy franchising.